Kevin Pollak is here. Look at all the go to your IMDb and take a look at Kevin Pollak's page or pages. It's a quite an extensive list of some of the greatest films of all time. The Usual Suspects, Casino, A Few Good Men, and on and on and on. Kevin is performing at the Improv this week in Schaumburg. Go to chicago.improv.com. It's all there. Hi, Kevin.
Well, hello.
Nice to see you.
It must be. I mean, you do.
It is. I just told Wendy, I still remember the very first time I saw you on television was on Comedy Break with Mac and Jamie.
Oh, my. That's
quite
going
a while
back.
Ago.
That is one of the first real gigs I had.
Yeah. You and Jan Hooks.
On the television. Jan Hooks, right before she went to SNL.
Yeah. You did a scene where I believe Albert Brooks was at the dentist.
Is that right?
I don't remember.
We did 750 sketches, so yeah. I don't remember.
It's funny stuff. Very funny.
It was very funny, yeah.
Forgive me for not knowing this. What year was this on?
Oh, boy. 84, 85, okay. 86, somewhere in there.
It ran here in Chicago.
Just 30 years ago.
It was about 30 years ago, wasn't it?
I was
it?
Dating then and yeah, used to go out.
Not me. I stay home and watch you on the Comedy Break.
Yeah, it was a sketch show that was on 5 nights a week on syndication.
Yeah.
So
oh, cool.
It was never...
They ran it here at 2:30 in the morning.
There you go.
I'd watch it at 2:30 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, we were very popular with people who drank and did drugs. I'm not casting any aspersions
no,
on you.
I didn't do either,
but
I'm
making
the
assumptions.
Show.
Yeah, did you have a paper out? Why were you up at 2:30?
I had a paper out.
I was putting rubber bands on these papers yeah. and laughing along with Albert Brooks at the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, we did all kinds of knucklehead stuff on that.
You've worked with some of the greats in show business. Some of them you do. Like at some point when you're working with somebody.
Does your audience know what you mean by that?
That sounded a little.
That's a key word you want to keep in.
You
do impressions of them. So at some point, I'm guessing you worked with somebody and did the impression of them for them, right?
Yeah, it's never a good idea.
No?
Well, the whole key to doing impersonations, it's a parlor trick. Okay, if I can think of someone you like and I can recreate them in front of you,
yeah,
I will steal the affection you have for the actual person.
Oh,
right, because
that's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
So if I thought you liked Albert Brooks, I say Nemo. That's what I have to say now for people to know what I'm doing. I have to be a fish. But if Albert were here, I'd just be a monkey doing a voice.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. So doing it for the person, they don't hear themselves the way we do.
Oh.
But since then. You know, Albert Brooks actually loves the impression, as does Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken, William Shatner. There's now a team of people who enjoy my doing impressions of them.
But what about Nicholson? Because you're in A Few Good Men with Nicholson.
I feel the need to adjust this. Like
you
I'm
can.
Leaning down. My posture's going right out the window. There, much better.
You look well postured.
This is all great radio.
You look, can I just jump in? You look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Are you like some fitness guru now? Oh, my God.
It's probably mostly genetics. I mean, I'm on the elliptical every day. But other than that, I don't really...
You look great.
Well, please. You should put that on a loop for me so I can play it when I pass a reflecting device, otherwise known as a mirror.
The good thing about this is even if your shows at the Improv are not good, people will leave going, he looked
You know what? He
great.
Looked good for a man of his age. He really has kept in some sort of shape. You know what it was? Before I met my current better half of 10 years, I was well on my way to... Tommy Bahamaville.
Oh.
I was wearing shirts that looked like tents. And she
Very
said,
forgiving.
She's younger, and she said, you know, if you wear clothing that actually fits you, and sure enough, the moment I did, people started saying, man, you look good. And I just realized all I had lost was a shirt that looked like a tent.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's it.
It's a misconception.
Nothing had changed.
You think you're hiding something, but you're not,
no,
really. You're just
hide,
adding
you're
some
okay.
girth.
Yeah.
Wendy and I were talking about this yesterday, Kevin, how with me, my wife is in really good shape, and that means for me, I better be in good shape. You have a little bit of that going on. Your wife's a little bit younger than you, so you have to be in good shape just to keep up with her, don't you?
Yeah, she is embarrassingly younger, and I was not looking to be that cliche.
Yeah.
I had 20 years in a marriage that eventually ended. And I was certainly not looking to date someone younger. In fact, when we first met, I said, we can't do this because
the age difference.
It's absurd and I don't want to be a joke. But she was like me in the sense of when I was 25, I was going on 40 or 50.
Yeah.
So she turned me on to Louis Prima.
Oh.
And, you know, Looney Tunes classics. And she was just an old soul wrapped up in a younger body, and I just had to let go of the preconceived notions that were in the social mores in my own mind. and find out that she's much smarter and funnier than I was. And it just made me feel younger, but also she's just not a young person.
No.
You know, her age is, but she's not.
That's just something on a driver's license, honestly. My husband's 6 years younger than me. I went the opposite way that you did.
Sure, sure.
And sometimes he acts older than I do. Yeah. And his references, if you click, who cares about
the
age?
That's exactly right.
Who made up that rule for a guy? It's half your age plus seven or something like that. Did you ever hear that rule?
I didn't.
Who made that rule?
I don't know. I've been hearing it
Don
forever.
Rickles?
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
I don't know who did it. But somebody said, that's the gauge. Half your life plus seven, and that's fine. But I don't get that.
That sounds like a contest.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. So she'd obviously seen your work prior to your relationship with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And
what'd she think?
But again, she's not someone who's impressed by show business in any way, shape, or form. She was just, like I was, again, a fan of comedians and movies.
Yeah.
And so when we met, she said, I had a crush on you when I was 11. And, I just thought that was funny, a funny thing to say.
Right.
And in fact, it was an attempt on her part to be funny. But it also ended up being true that she saw me in a movie when she was 11. And
what movie?
Indian Summer. Her older sister had dragged her to go see Indian Summer.
You and Bonnie Hunt?
No, Chicago. I did the movie out of Chicago with Bonnie Hunt that ended up being that first season of Project Greenlight.
Right.
Yeah.
With Pete somebody who directed it.
Pete Jones
loved him.
Yeah.
Wrote and directed that.
Yeah,
that was great.
Indian Summer was Diane Lane, Elizabeth Perkins.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very fun movie.
And thank God her sister dragged her to it.
Yes, 100%. I still thank her. Yeah, absolutely.
When you do a movie, let's take Usual Suspects, for example. A cult favorite, one of those movies that will live on forever, one of the biggest surprises in motion picture history. As you're making it, do you go, I'm working on something special right now?
Well, we all just knew that it was the best script we'd ever read.
Yeah.
And still is. It won the Academy Award for Best Screenplay, so we weren't idiots in thinking that. But the writer and the director were both 25, 26. They were so young, you had no idea what it would look like. You know, we had to just trust this director that he knew what he was doing. In this case, Bryan Singer, who went on and is still having an amazing career.
The X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're so young, we just thought, well, it's a phenomenal script. I like these actors. Maybe this will work. You never know. You know, every project I go into, I say yes for the right reasons, and then there's 8 million ways to die after that as a gun for hire as an actor.
Yeah.
I finally directed a movie this last year, and it's on Netflix now, called The Late Bloomer. And I got a little taste of what it meant to be in charge of all those elements and not be a gun for hire. I mean, I was brought on to it. It wasn't a project I'd been developing.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I was a gun for hire. But all the responsibility was a lot different experience. And I loved it, and now I'm in the process of setting up the next one, the script that I have written that – we're just starting the casting.
That's very exciting.
It is.
Good for you.
Very exciting.
Because it's like a joke in Hollywood, someday I want to direct, but when you do it.
Yeah, and a lot of actors, myself included, have no interest in it because it's much more of a full-time job.
It's harder, isn't it?
It's a year-long commitment, and we don't like all that responsibility.
Right.
We like to be a child in a sandbox playing.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, once I directed and then went back to acting in a movie, I also had a greater appreciation for how easy of a job it is to just be the actor.
So in this one, you only directed, you did not star as
well.
That's right.
That's right.
Can you imagine those guys? And there's a lot of guys that do both at the same time. That's almost inconceivable.
It's daunting. And when I set out to direct, I did interview a lot of friends who were actors who became directors, Tom Hanks and a few others. And it is a bizarre process, quite frankly. In fact, this next film that I'm directing, I wrote a part in it for myself, because when I was writing, and I one of the characters is sort of an everyman, and he's sort of the thought process of the audience. You know, he asks the questions the audience is thinking of the storyteller. And I was thinking, you know, all the character actors like myself who I basically compete for in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, which one of these actors would be great for it. And then at some point I realized, why am I giving this great part to my competition? I should just do it myself. But then I have to direct myself, which I'm not terribly excited about. So we'll see. I don't know if I can get a better route. Like, I got J.K. Simmons in my last film.
That's
the late
bad.
Bloomer. So he would be a much better for marketing, too. So maybe I'll go after him.
A little synopsis of The Late Bloomer. I didn't realize it was out, and I will be watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's based on a true story about a guy who did not go through puberty until the age 30.
Bill, it's
That's
about
me.
You.
There you go. Well, in his case, he had a benign tumor resting on his pituitary gland, and he started getting headaches. And when they removed it, very simple procedure, but when they removed it, he went through puberty in about 2.5-3 weeks.
Wow.
So all the craziness that happens to a teenager, he went through as a fully realized adult, in this case, a PhD, 30-year-old. So hence comedy hijinks.
Yeah.
It ensues.
Yeah.
It's going to ensue.
Kumail Nanjiani and Beck Bennett play his best friends.
Love him.
Brittany Snow from the Picture Perfect movies. Plays a girl across the hall. J.K. Simmons plays his father. Maria Bello, the mother. Jane Lynch, great Chicagoan.
Yeah.
Plays his boss. Phenomenal cast, yeah.
It sounds like it.
The Late Bloomer on Netflix.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it.
Kevin Pollak is here, movie star, comedian, impressionist, appearing at the Improv all this week, weekend. Go to chicago.improv.com, and we'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kevin Pollak is joining us, a great actor, fine comedian. He's appearing at the Improv this weekend. Go to chicago.improv.com. I don't know if you're aware of this, Kevin, but on Internet Movie Database, it says your name, Kevin Pollak, and then it says alternate names, Kevin Pollak.
Have you also I did used not that know name? That I had that alias.
Yeah.
Yeah, early on I decided, let's...
As a kid?
Let's stick with the same name. Actually, I went to my mom when I was 11 and said, I'm going to change my name. She said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, I'm going to be in show business, and Pollak is just too clunky.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Kevin Klein.
Oh.
Not kidding.
Wow. This was before. Her maiden name is Klein, isn't it?
Kevin Klein was a popular actor's name.
Yeah.
And that this was before that.
It was my mom's maiden name, yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to be Kevin Klein. She said, no, you're not. You're not changing your name, little knucklehead. And then later years, the first big movie I did or respected was Barry Levinson's film Avalon.
Yeah.
And I remember I ran into Kevin Klein, who had said, I loved you in Avalon. I said I wanted to change my name to yours when I was 11. I'm realizing there's a theme today. Everything happens at 11.
Everything it does is. Happen at 11.
Did you not?
I think I have to leave at 11.
Did you do? Did it not? Did it really stop you when your mom said don't do it? Did you really listen to your mom?
Well, I didn't have a choice. I was 11.
I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
She was calling the shots.
But
yeah.
I thought later, you know, if you still thought about it, you would have done it.
I did. I thought about it a lot. And, you know, I started performing pretty young. I was doing stand-up. I was probably 17.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But back in Northern California, where I'm from, there weren't comedy clubs. So I would go to a bar where there'd be live bands doing covers, you know, and I would say, you know, I could go on during the break if you wanted, just to do 10, 15 minutes or whatever. That's how I started.
Do you think a guy, Avalon is directed by Barry Levinson, mm-hmm. who used to be a stand-up comic before he became a film director. Do you think he's able to take guys like you and Paul Reiser, who did Diner for him, and bring things out of them that maybe other directors can't because of their background?
Oh, yeah. In fact, first of all, not a lot of people know that Barry was a stand-up. Him and Craig T. Nelson were a comedy team in the 60s in the coffee houses, he used to tell me. And then I noticed there was a theme or a repetition that Barry uses a comedian in almost every one of his movies.
Yeah.
You got Dennis Leary in Wag the Dog. Even with Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam, you've also got Robert Wall in that. Dennis Miller was in one of his movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he loves comedians. And it was a great, if not historical, moment in my life because I was a stand-up comedian who wanted to be an actor but had no formal training. So they would casting people come to the Improv in Los Angeles and see comedians. And I would get auditions that way, not from having an agent.
Right.
And Barry was one of those people who came to the Improv all the time. And I was brought in to audition for several of his movies until I finally got one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the first dramatic role I did in a movie, though my character's a cut up. And I think he hired me because he wanted the character to be funny. But I just had a natural ability to be comfortable in front of the camera. That's all it really was for me, and it still is to this day. In fact, wasn't the great character actor J.T. Walsh from Chicago?
Could be from Blood Simple, that J.T. Walsh?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think he
in
was.
In A Few Good Men, he plays Markinson, the guy who is Nicholson's right-hand man.
Yeah.
And I remember confessing to him when we were shooting A Fugitive that I didn't know what I was doing in terms of acting. I had no technique, no training.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you're already doing a technique that people study for years, which is called less is more. You've already got that natural ability to do less. He said there's a second part to that, though. Less is more, nothing is best. If you can do nothing in a scene and be interesting to watch,
wow,
then you win. And I've made a career of doing nothing for 25 years. It was 25 years ago A Few Good Men was shot.
Is wow. that right? Has yeah. it been 25
years? Came out
years?
In 92.
Wow.
I know.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is.
We're getting older, guys.
Is the Demi Moore character, was that originally written as a man? I've heard that rumor for years. And then at the last minute, they had Demi Moore and they said, well, we
Oh, no, no. It was a very, very successful Broadway play.
And so it was
that Aaron Sorkin wrote and ran for 500 plus performances.
Okay.
And yeah.
Good.
So you'd have to ask Aaron if he originally wrote it as a man.
As a man.
But it wasn't the movie that made it a woman.
You're a great actor and you're a great stand-up comic, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't know you were still touring in stand-up.
Well, I sort of take a drift away from occasion and I come back to it because it's my first love. It's how I started. And I never toured extensively, so it felt like a job. And then I can't stay away for too long or I miss it.
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't remember you being political in your stand-up, but the times are such that you almost have to comment on what goes on politically. Have you been doing that lately?
Well, I've always been an escapist act.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to remind people of how horrible things are.
Good point.
Yeah. I'll talk about the ridiculousness of it all mm-hmm. more than I'll talk about any particular issue.
Yeah.
Also, you divide your audience in half every time you take a
sure.
side. And also, I think people in show business speaking out politically is one of the more boring things possible.
Yeah.
unless they've really gone out of their way to educate themselves in a particular topic and they speak of it with passion, which happens on
yeah.
occasion. Certainly George Clooney and Don Cheadle have raised a lot of awareness. And there are a couple of others, of course.
Carrot Top, certainly.
Oh,
comes
please.
To mind.
Musicians do that, too, where they, you know, Bono, Bruce Springsteen, you know, it's like, just play your music.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But you're still loving this.
So I'll
years.
Talk about how, you know, who's the most upset. A lot of people are protesting every day
yeah.
with the Trump presidency. People are very upset. People are very happy, but some people are very, very upset. And I was just trying to figure out who was the most upset. And the obvious answer is Hillary, of course.
Sure.
Right.
But I wonder, maybe it's Bill. I think Bill
think
might
so?
Have been looking forward to getting back in that house with no responsibilities, just picking up the phone and calling the kitchen at 2 a.m. Hey, hey, fellas, how's it going? Listen, I was hoping to get a PBJ now, if I could. I know you're busy, but anywho. Yeah. Just walking around his robe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my idea of being played.
That's
so funny. Kevin, great to see you again.
Pleasure.
I'm so glad you're here. He's at the Improv in Schaumburg all this weekend, chicago.improv.com, and then your own website is your name, kevinpollack.tv.
Yes.
People can find you there.
Sure.
Have a great stay here in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
That's
Thank
Kevin
you. Good
Pollack.
To see you.
We'll take a quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.